in the name of our Lord and Savior. In this powerful message, discover how hearing and hearing the Word of God preached does not impact faith, but unlocks God's flow of supply and miracles into every area of your life. Be encouraged to keep hearing the preached Word and begin to see God impact His wisdom to you, supply your needs, and work miracles in your life.
I'd like that we read from Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. We'll take two readings from the scripture. The second will be from 2 Peter chapter 1. So first we will read from Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 9 to 12. And then we go to 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5 to 11. Let me give you time to open the two scriptures. And whatever you can use to put there as a marker, so we can read the two at once. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 9 to 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5 to 11. Let us rise, please. As a mark of honor to God's word. I begin the reading from Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 6, from verse 9 to 12. Even though we speak like this, they are friends. We are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. For this very reason, from 2 Peter 2, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more, whatever may be a stumbling block to the entrance of your word. I need to remind you, sometimes last year, I started preaching on a series of messages with the title, Digging Deeper in Christ. Digging Deeper in Christ. And we started a study from Hebrews chapter 6. And in that study, we started handling a very complex issue. And we have so far been able to establish the necessity of living the elementary principles of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Can I just have that verse? Let's refresh our memories. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. There, the writer of Hebrew was calling on the Christians. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Verse 2, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Verse 3. And God permitting we will do so. Now, we are reading this in order to remind ourselves of the instruction for the church to move on from what the Bible calls the elementary principles of Christ and to advance unto maturity. We are yet to actually begin to explore what it means to go on to maturity, but we have been able to establish the fact that there are great consequences and dangers in being reluctant and adamant in advancing beyond the elementary. Let me remind you also that we have noted two commands from the onset, from this Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, that we must leave the elementary principles. Not as though they are not important, but we cannot continue to dwell on them over and over again. There is the need, which is the second command, for us to go on to maturity. We have so far emphasized the first, with the necessity and the accompanying consequences and dangers of refusing to obey it. And if anyone has been following this series of teaching, and I advise you, some of these sermons are preserved in the on tapes for us. And that's why it's advisable to get the sermon tapes. You can play them and connect. So this is the fourth time I'll be preaching on that series. You can get the other previous three series and then add this to it. I'm sure that if you have been following, you are not left in doubt or in confusion concerning the necessity, the consequences, and the dangers related to not obeying the command to leave the elementary teachings of Christ and to move on to maturity. We are now set to discuss the process of attaining Christian maturity, even as the writer of Hebrews at this point addresses us as friends. Look at the tone in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. He seems to have been very harsh on the... Where is verse 9? He seems to have been very harsh on the readers from verse 1. When he gets to verse 9, he addresses them as dear friends. So even though we speak like this, it's a reference to the harsh tone with which the initial verses have been colored. Even though we speak like this, we speak as though you have been adamant, we speak as though you have been reluctant, we speak as though you are unserious, he decides to vary. He decides to take a different tone here. And he says, dear friends, let me remind you that the warnings and the instructions in Scripture, they are not there actually to condemn us. They are there because they are important to strengthen us. Many times when warnings come from Scripture or preachers preach very hard messages, some people will even take it very personal. I know why he's preaching that way. It must be because of me. If he doesn't preach because of you, because of whom should he preach? Now, we must understand that when warnings come from Scripture, the purpose is not to condemn us. The purpose is not to say you are not wanted. Rather, to strengthen us, to wake us up so we can do the needful. So here he says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, he softened the tone here. We are confident of better things in your own case. Now, let's quickly consider what are those things that accompany salvation. Because that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews would want his readers to understand. that apart from your salvation experience in Christ, which nobody is disputing if it is genuine, what you have, nobody can take it away from you. When Christ saves you, he saves you forever. But there are certain things that must accompany your salvation experience. And what are they? Number one, salvation experience, we must know, is not an event, but a process. Our salvation is not an event, but a process. In that Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, he says, we are confident of better things, things that must accompany salvation. It's good that you are saved, if you are. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful testimony. That's the best testimony any man can have on earth, that I have been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest testimony you can share with anybody. But the Bible tells us that there are other things that accompany salvation. That you don't get saved and remain there. Your testimony should not stop with your contact with Christ. Your testimony should not stop with your salvation experience that day that you met the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other things that accompany salvation. And that's the same thing Peter is emphasizing in 2 Peter. You will be taking us from 2 Peter and Hebrews. So let's get to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, also emphasizes it. Say, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. So let's say the point at which you received Christ is the point of faith, because you don't even receive Christ unless by faith. We come to Christ, we come to God by faith. So he says, for this very reason, because of the many things that accompany salvation, make every effort to add to your faith. There are certain additions that are required of all who have come to Christ in faith. It is not expected that because we have come to Christ in faith, we have reached our mark, we have reached our goal. But there are certain things that must be added. Let me quickly clarify the difference between event and process. Since I said earlier, salvation is not an event, but a process. An event is a happening, usually an important one. It happens once and it ends there. That's what you call an event. It happens once and it ends there. On the other hand, a process is any continued set of natural actions connected with the continuation, development, and change of life. I take that again. A process is any continued set of natural actions connected with the continuation, development, and change of life. For example, we may say that an event took place yesterday, meaning, yes, something happened yesterday, but it was over. It ended yesterday. It could cause you some pains, or it could leave you with some beautiful memories. But the truth of it is that if it is an event, it has ended. Some people may have been in a party yesterday, and you will see the hangover of that in them the next morning, as they begin to doze off when they are supposed to be strong. But the party is over. Is the party not over? It's over. What you are having is hangover effect of the event is gone. But if we say a process began yesterday, what this means is that something started yesterday that is going to continue, that is going to develop, and is capable of changing life or a matter. Who's, for instance, we say an investigation started yesterday. The implication is that it's not over. If you have anything related to what is being investigated, you cannot sit down and say, well, it's a matter of yesterday. Because they have just begun that yesterday. So it continues. It therefore simply means that faith in Christ, being a process, is not stagnant. It must continue. It must develop and bring changes in the lives of those who profess faith in Christ. It's not stagnant at all. For the Christian life to grow, the writer of Hebrews encouraged believers to pursue good deeds and love. Look at verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. He says, there are better things that accompany salvation. In verse 10, he says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So here he is alluding to the need for good deeds and love as things that accompany salvation. If we go back to that First Peter, in First Peter chapter 5, I mean chapter 1, Second Peter chapter 1, taken from verse 5 to 7, we get a better understanding because Peter enlisted a number of virtues that must accompany our faith in order to ensure steady growth. Look at it, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. What? Goodness. Let's go together. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, and to self-control, and to perseverance, and to godliness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Very explicit. Peter says, these things must be added to your faith. And the way he puts this, he does not say that you are going to possess all of this at once. Once you come to Christ in faith, that all of this will just be added to you as a completion of that event that took place the day you became a Christian. No. Rather, he says, you will continue by effort through the grace of God to add these things. And the way he puts them, one after the other. So as a Christian, as you begin to grow, the first thing you must begin to look towards is how you can add goodness to your faith. And then he goes on and on. Goodness will not be complete without knowledge. And knowledge will puff up where there is no self-control. And self-control cannot be really practiced without perseverance. And perseverance can only be in godliness. Nobody can persevere if you do not have the attribute of God in you. And he says, add brotherly kindness to your godliness and brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, add love. Time will not permit us to treat each of these virtues separately. But Peter speaks of a necessity when he says, add to. Hallelujah. Add to. Supply this to that which you have. So what Peter is saying to us here calls for personal examination. That you stand before the word of God as a mirror before you, and then you see if after your faith there is anything you have added. And if you have added something, you will also see the things that you have not added. And Peter is saying, add to. Add to. And if we will be very sincere, there will always be something to add
to our faith.
Number two, every Christian must follow the process of salvation. No Christian should stop at the point of that event. No matter how, we know that it is the greatest event in anybody's life. The event of coming to Christ. Say, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. That day is a very happy day. Definitely. We can't take anything away from it. When Jesus washed my sin away, it's a great day. It's a day that nobody should forget. But every Christian must follow the process of salvation. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. Hebrews 6, 11. He says, we want each of you. How many? So, what does each of you mean? All of you. All of you. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. We want each of you to pursue the process of salvation to the very end. We want every Christian not to stop at the events of the day that he or she comes to Christ, but to follow the process of salvation to the very end. And he says, in order to do what? Can we read that portion? Let's go. In order to make your hope sure. Is it not there in your own Bible? So every Christian must pursue that process. Look at 2 Peter now. 2 Peter chapter 1. Give us verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, for if you possess these qualities, don't forget, in verse 5, he says, add to. But in these verses 8 and 9, he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. The writer of Hebrews says, you can make your hope sure. But Peter helps us to understand it better. He says, they will keep you from being ineffective. The implication is that a Christian who stops only at the point of that great event by which you came to Christ, that great experience of salvation that came by faith on a particular day and moment, if you stop at that point, the writer of Hebrews is saying that you will become ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a very dangerous thing. He says, but if anyone does not have them, he is what? He is nearsighted. Nearsightedness means he can only see what is, just before him. Anything that is a little bit far off, he cannot see it. And that is a serious problem to many Christians today, that they can only see what is close to their noses. And I mean spiritually. Once it is a meter off, they cannot see it. He says, if you don't have these things, you are nearsighted. And in fact, he says, you are blind. He didn't say you are not a Christian. But you are a blind Christian. And it's also possible to forget that you have been cleansed from your past sins. This is the case of people who fall into temptation and bring, shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you wonder, is this person aware that Christ has washed him or her from his past sins? He says, if you don't have them, you are nearsighted, you are blind, and you have forgotten that what? You have been cleansed from your sin. Two positive things here. He says, following the process helps to keep our hope alive. Hallelujah. The hope of some Christians is already dead. The writer of Hebrews says, when you follow the process of your salvation, it keeps your hope alive. It keeps your hope alive. Another positive thing is the fact that following the process keeps us from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of Christ. 2 Peter 1:8. And I like us to check other versions for these words, ineffective and unproductive, in verse 8. Can you give us other versions of verse 8? Okay. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. This is King James. So there can be a barren Christianity. A Christianity that does not produce any fruit. Okay, let's have another version. Another one says, with these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. I like this one with the message. How does grass grow under somebody's feet? Do you know how a grass grows under a tire? Under a tire. At least you know that one. Why? Why does grass grow under a tire? When the tire has been there for so long, grass will say, if you refuse to move, I want to come out. So if your feet has been on the same place, grass will soon come out. To say, if you will not be productive, I want to come out. So he says, with these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass. This is the message. These are modern expressions. He says, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Let's have one more. Some of these things can be very interesting. ASV says, for if these things are yours and abound. ASV is always the younger brother of King James. So you find just little difference. It says, it keeps you from being what? Idle and unfruitful. Hallelujah. So two negative things to note here. He says, if we fail to keep in process, we become nearsighted and even blind. And the second one, if you fail to keep in process, you readily lose focus. It's there in verse 9b. And the third thing I want to quickly take us through is the admonition to embark on the process. In that write-up, in that scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, give us verses 11 and 12. The writer gives an admonition to his readers to embark on the process. And we desire. Look at it. He says what? We desire each of you to show the same earnestness in realizing the full assurance of your hope until the end. We desire. Let's have verse 12. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And let's look at 2 Peter now, 1, 10 and 11. 10 and 11. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, the same thing is expressed. It says, therefore, brethren, it's an admonition. Be the more zealous to confirm your call and election. Be zealous to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never fall. When you see a Christian who falls, you have seen a Christian who has refused to move. You have seen a Christian that grasses have grown under his feet. It's not an easy thing to follow. Yesterday I was giving an illustration that it is children who usually fall, and fall becomes like play to children. Adults don't easily fall down. Have you noticed that? Even when they stumble, they still manage, they stagger and maintain their stand. Or when they sleep, they find a way to stand. And then they are careful. But children, how many times do children fall in your presence? They can even fall, rise, and fall again. A child can sleep, fall, and then rise again and do another one and fall. When you keep falling and rising as a Christian, it shows you are a child. You are a baby Christian who has refused to engage or embark, rather, on the process of your salvation. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. That's what Peter is saying. He says, therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election. If you do this, you will never fall. It's possible for a Christian not to fall. Because if you keep growing, you keep growing, it's possible not to fall. But if you stay in one place, it's normal to fall. Very, very normal. We don't take it serious when you hear that a child fell. Is it any big deal? Unless there is a what? Injury, serious one, or fracture. We don't normally take children's falling any serious. If you hear now that one adult fell yesterday in his house, all of us will be concerned. Say, I hope he did not hit his head. Because even with the weight that we carry, by the time you hit the ground will know that somebody has come. But a child says, peh, and he rises again. Sometimes it amazes us the way children rise up very quickly when they fall. Because they are not heavy. Just one peh. Then he rises up. You are the one who says, hey, sorry, sorry, he wants to run again. But you, if you fall once, hey, some people are remembering the time they fell. If you fall once, it's a serious matter. Verse 11, so there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why the admonition? Every Christian ought to be involved. According to Hebrews 6:11, he says, we want each of you. The writer of Hebrews expresses a very deep concern. And as the pastor of this church, I want every member to be involved in the faith process. It is not something we begin to negotiate. If you really want to grow as a child of God, it is something you have to engage on. It is something you have to embark on. I want to thank God for opportunities for discipleship. I want to thank God for opportunities for follow-up on our Christian life. There are many areas of follow-up. And essentially, everything is targeting service. Everything is pointing towards how you yourself can become a servant of God. And when I say servant of God, don't think I'm saying everybody should be a pastor. But every Christian should be a servant of God. Every Christian should be a servant of God. Otherwise, grasses will grow under your feet. Grasses will grow under your feet. So, all of us must. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Say, we want each of you. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says, no one should be lazy. Let's have Hebrews 6:12. Says, no one should be lazy but striving to obtain the promise. Look at it. So that you may not be sluggish. This is RSV. The NIV says, you will not be lazy. But you will imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Laziness is a disease, I tell you. Procrastination, they say, is a thief of time. But laziness is a disease. And many of us fall into one category or the other. You are either lazy or you have been procrastinating. And actually, your procrastination will lead to laziness. It can be interpreted as laziness. And it's a disease. You need a cure. Every time we speak about advancing in your spiritual life, you say, is it everybody? It's laziness and it's disease. It's a disease. You need to take advantage of the move and get involved. The process is the only means by which we can be sure of our calling and election. 2 Peter 1:10 says, so you can be sure of your calling and election. Unless we embark on faith process, our calling and election, they are under severe threat. This can be implied from verse 10b. And there is great rewards for keeping in process. He says, a rich welcome awaits us. Hebrews 6:12. That we will inherit the promise. Say, follow in step with those who have done it, and they have through patience inherited what was promised. It is the ongoing process of our salvation and not just an event that will eventually lead to the rich welcome and the inheritance of the promise. If you appear in the gates of heaven and you anticipate and expect that there will be a great welcome, a rich welcome, then it's going to be for those who have been active, whose feet have been very swift in service to the Lord. Remember Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, where he was describing the armor of faith. He said, get your feet shodded with what? With the gospel of salvation. You must be fast, quick in doing something for the Lord. When you appear in his presence, you will have a rich welcome. I want you to note that the writer of Hebrews says, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. In verse 11. And Peter says in verse 8, the process should be in increasing measure. So, if you have begun, if you have been a part of the process for advancing your faith in Christ, it is not an excuse for you to now sit back and say, after all, we are better than those who have not moved an inch. What does the scripture say? It says, do it in what? In increasing measure. So nobody should be where he was last year. Nobody should be where he was even last month. There must be an eagerness, an earnestness to keep advancing our calling, because that is what we have been called to. It's a challenge not only to those who have remained at a spot, but even those who are already in the process. As I conclude, let me remind you that Christian race is not for the lazy. So don't be lazy. Your profession of faith is just the beginning point of a lifelong process that ends in glory. If you stop at the point of profession that leads to baptism, probably to fulfill requirement for church membership, I doubt if anyone can guarantee your membership of the heavenly congregation. Let us pray. Why don't you say, Lord, help me?
This message was brought to you from the ministry of Victory Baptist Church, Aja, 527 Lewis Street, by Sweetwaters, Aja Lagos. Telephone 0807-460-4212 or 0807-460-4250. Email info@vbcaja.org. You can also visit our website on www.vbcaja.org. Victory Baptist Church. We are the light on the peninsula.